Good morning, Grace Church. Will you pray with me? Father God, you are the sovereign, holy, righteous Lord of the universe. There is no name greater than yours. And Father God, we come before you now humbly, with thankful hearts, recognizing that we can't come to you on our own, but that you provided a way so that we could come into your presence, that we might be saved, that we might be redeemed, that we might be forgiven. What an awesome God it is that we serve, who demonstrates his love for us by sending his one and only Son. It's an amazing thing to come into your presence. And now, Father God, we pray that your Spirit would be present in this moment, that you would watch over us in this time, that your name would be glorified and praised in all that we do and witness and say, that you might receive the glory due your name. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Boy, it's good to be with you this morning. And I got to tell you, I am excited about this. I'm always excited when we do a baptism, you know, or baptisms. It's just fun stuff. Now, you may remember that it was only about a month ago that we had the pleasure of baptizing three sisters in the Lord. And now, this morning, we're going to have that privilege and joy again because we're going to see Isabella Shaw and Lucas Haslam and Matt Monaco baptized. And as we come together to witness this moment of baptism, I think it's important that I reiterate again and again and again that no one is saved through baptism. No one is saved because they were baptized. And we know this because the Scripture makes it clear in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, where it says this: He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So there is no work, there is no ritual, there is no righteous thing a woman or man can do in and of their own strength that will make them right before God and save them from God's righteous judgment. Now, we don't like to think of God's righteous judgment, but the truth is that the Scriptures proclaim that God is a righteous King, a righteous God, which means he has a standard that he will uphold. And if we stand in contrast to that standard, if we push away from that standard, then his righteous judgment will fall upon us. And when that righteous judgment falls upon us, we will be removed from his presence forever. Forever. Every minor grace of this life, every light that demonstrates his presence to us will be removed from our presence. You know, over the years, I've heard people say, oh, you know, I'll see you in hell. No, you won't. No, you won't. Because that would be a gracious gift from a God who has poured his righteous judgment out upon you. There will be no companionship in hell. There will only be you for all eternity. No light, no joy, no freedom, no moment where you can take a deep breath and say, oh, well, okay, let me just get my arms around this again. Let me just collect myself. You just get you for all eternity. And we're not saved because we enter into these waters of baptism, or because we come to church, or we take communion, or we work hard to be nice to old people and puppies. You are saved by God's mercy and by God's grace. And that's a really, really good thing to keep in mind. Because we are by nature and we are by choice sinful people. And we are separated from God. And we're prone in that separation to chase after our own lusts and our own desires and to seek our own self-interests. And even though we have built into us the knowledge of God, and the world around us, the universe around us, testifies to the truth of God and the glories of God, left in our natural state, left in that state of sinful separation, we suppress the truth by our actions. And we choose not to honor Him as God or to give thanks to our God. And as a result of that, our thinking becomes increasingly futile. Our foolish hearts are darkened and become wickedly deceitful and increasingly deceitful. And the wage of our sin, well, the Scripture declares that's death. That's that eternal separation from Him. But even though we're in that condition, rather than submit to God's righteous rule, rather than walking toward the light of God, most choose instead to chase after anything we think we can put our trust and hope in an attempt to cover up our sin and our guilt before God. And in this way, we're really no different than our forebears. We're really no different than Adam and Eve, who, having sinned against God, tried to cover up their guilt, and they tried to cover up their shame by hiding from God and literally covering their nakedness with leaves. How sad was their best attempt to cover their guilt before the God who sees all and knows all. It's even more pathetic when you think that they took from the tree of life. They took of the knowledge of good and evil. And so their eyes were opened and they were granted this wisdom, and their wisdom yielded covering themselves, covering their shame and guilt with leaves and trying to hide from God. Amazing, amazing. And how pathetic are our attempts to cover our sins before God, to try to cover them with good works as though somehow we could please an almighty, perfect, righteous God with our imperfect attempts at perfection. But rather than leave us in this pathetic condition, rather than leave us in the state of perpetually striving and endlessly working to meet God's standard of righteousness and to somehow gain His favor, just as God called out to Adam and Eve in their moment of distress, asking, "Where are you? Where are you?" The Scripture declares in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were as far away from Him as we could possibly be, trying to go our own way, trying to cover our own sin and shame on our own terms, God sought us out and in essence calls out to us, "Where are you?" And He did it by way of Jesus. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." Praise God that God didn't require that we somehow figure out how to come to Him. That in the mess that we were, that somehow we'd figure out how we could do good enough to please Him. No, instead He came to us in the personage of Christ. So, the salvation of man doesn't begin in a ritual. The salvation of man begins with an act of God, the holy, righteous, sovereign Lord of all, saw beyond our sinfulness, and He made a way for us to be saved and restored and reconciled to Himself by putting our faith in Jesus. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth we confess and are saved. So let me say it again, and I will say it again and again and again. Matt and Lucas and Bella are not saved because you step into those waters. You are not saved because of that. No one is saved through that baptism. Instead, baptism is their dedication to us all, that their declaration to us all, a declaration that they have already put their faith, they have already put their trust in Jesus. And through faith, they now take hold of the truth that they have been received in Him. Because it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And now, they're proclaiming along with Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, that even though they were dead in their transgressions, they were dead in their sins, the sins they used to live in when they followed the ways of the world, and the Spirit who's at work in those who are disobedient, they're now declaring, no, that was the past. What God has done in them is remarkable, amazing, transformative. It's not just good news, gang. It's great news. It's phenomenal news that they have been included in the family of God. Now, because of God's great love, they have been received by Him, and they have been made alive with Christ because it's by faith they've been saved. And having been received so graciously by our righteous Lord, they've come to understand that in Christ, they've been given a new life. And they have been chosen, and they have been adopted into the family of God. They have been redeemed. They have been justified. They have been forgiven. They've been marked by the promise of the Holy Spirit and granted an inheritance that can never perish, it can never spoil, it can never, ever fade. Now, having been born again into this new life and having been marked by the Holy Spirit, their hearts are now freed up, freed to overflow with the love for Him, the one who first loved them. And now they're enabled by the Spirit of God to please God for the first time, because the Scripture declares that without faith it is impossible to please Him. And now, by the Spirit of God indwelling in them, they are enabled finally to obey the Lord and to demonstrate their love for Him by choosing this morning to be baptized as He was and as He commands all believers. This way, they are publicly identifying themselves with Jesus and His kingdom. And they are declaring for all of us that they testify to what Jesus has done in their lives. He is the one who leads them, and they are testifying that He is the one they will serve. He is the one they will follow. So we have every reason to celebrate this morning. And to celebrate this moment. Because with them, we are celebrating the gospel message that declares that there is hope for the lost. We are celebrating the truth that it is by faith in Christ Jesus that we can be freed from the law of sin and death. No longer will we be declared in faith. No longer will we be declared guilty on that day of judgment. And that day will come. The Scripture declares that all will die physically, and all will face judgment. And on that judgment day, those who have claimed faith in Christ Jesus, who put their hope in Christ Jesus, will stand before the Lord of hosts, and the Lord of hosts will recount every word. They will be held accountable for every word, every action. And they will not be condemned. Not because they performed perfectly, not because they were baptized, but because the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ will be upon them. And they will hear the words, good and faithful servant. And for the first time in their lives, they will understand grace. They will understand grace because they will have been confronted with all the stuff in their lives that stands in opposition to God's grace. And they will hear Him declare, forgiven. I am yours and you are mine. What a glorious day of redemption that will be. And we are celebrating the fact that the one who called them to Himself calls to each of us. He calls to each of us, wherever he finds us, in whatever condition we may be in. He calls to us who are weary and burdened and tired of covering our shame and our guilt through our own efforts, trying to somehow please a God that we don't even really understand, but figures he's out there somewhere waiting for that day when we will close our eyes for the last time. And then who knows? The scripture tells us, we know. We know. And that God who says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our God, we must remember, he's patient toward us. He doesn't wish that any should perish, but that all should repent and come to faith in Christ. He desires that all men are to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. If you haven't yet responded to his call, today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day. And I would have you listen carefully to that still small voice and call out to God in prayer, knowing that he will hear you. He will hear you. Confess your sins and ask for forgiveness, for he will forgive you. Because the word declares that he turns no one away who comes to him in faith. And today, put your trust and your faith in Christ Jesus. For he is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by him. No one. There is no back door to salvation. There's no back door into heaven's eternity. The door is through Jesus, by faith in him. And then, having come to him and acknowledging your sin and asking for forgiveness and putting your trust and faith in him alone to pay the price for it, then rejoice. Rejoice and be glad and be baptized. And declare through your baptism to the whole world, look what Jesus has done for me. Look what Jesus has accomplished in me. Not by works, but by faith in his name. And if you're here today, and you've already received Christ by faith, but you haven't yet been baptized as an adult, you haven't yet been baptized, dear one, what is stopping you? What is stopping you? What stands in the way of your being baptized in obedience to God's command? What stands in the way of declaring your profession of faith and declaring boldly, boldly what God has done for you? You trusted him for your salvation. And you've claimed in him the promise of forgiveness of your sins and the promise of eternal life. These were works of God that only he has the power to provide. It was only God who can break the power of sin and death and the life of a sinner. It is only God who can promise and secure you for eternal life. So, dear one, trust him now. Trust him now. Trust him to break the power of whatever it is that would keep you from being baptized in obedience to his command. Trust him that no matter how scary it might look, that how unnerving it might be, that he who had the power to break the work of sin and death in your life surely has the power to see you through a moment in which you might be baptized. Dear ones, taste and see that the Lord is good. And then watch how he blesses these acts of obedience, just as he blessed you on the day of your salvation. And with that, let me just say, amen. And now, let's see our brothers and sisters baptized. Amen?